As Jenny mentioned, this is a case example, it's an illustration that we did to look at the use of GIS technology for selecting a site in Hillsborough County, Florida, where we would put a new mental health center, assuming that funding would be available. How would we go about and do that kind of planning? I have no financial disclosures or financial relationships to disclose. I do have a disclosure, though, and that is I'm a GIS novice. I've been doing mental health services research for a long time. We have a large data center that has a lot of administrative data sets, and as I've seen other fields move forward with GIS, using GIS technology and in public health, where I also have an appointment, I think the mental health field is a little behind the times. And so in trying to educate myself more, I got our associate dean, actually, and myself, we actually sat and I took my first course in 27 years, I think. And I have to tell you, and I haven't lived this down, she got an A-plus in the course. I only get an A, so she should probably be actually presenting. I don't need to tell this audience that in any given year, about 25% of adults over the age of 18 have some mental health service need. And if we translate that into the number of individuals, that translates to about 58 million people. However, despite the magnitude of the need, if we look at the number of individuals that receive services, once again, it's only about 1 in 4 individuals that actually receive mental health services. And there are many barriers, obviously, as to why people in need of mental health services don't access care. But two of them that have been associated with individuals' access to mental health services are one, so the availability of mental health providers, but secondly, this notion of distance, how far people live from available services. And you've heard a number of examples of that in previous presentations in this session. And if you look at some of those references, we've known that for a long time. I mean, 1964, that's not as old as I am, but still there. So the purpose of this analysis was to use GIS technology to identify potential sites in Hillsborough County, Florida, on which to locate a new community mental health center. So what is GIS? Well, Geographic Information Systems, and actually, they have a big booth over at the expo, not to plug them, but if people want to learn something about it. GIS information systems permits the analysis and visualization of data to examine patterns, relationships, trends, in the form of maps. I mean, you can present it in other forms and charts and tables and that, but certainly I think, to me, the visualization piece is sort of the key to it. And it allows you to integrate a large number of data sets and present them in a manner that I do a lot of work with our Medicaid authority and with policy people at the state level that they can understand and that I can present in a way that they can understand, which I think is harder when we get into some of the multivariate and hierarchical modeling kinds of things. It's more difficult for them to follow that. The analysis is possible at all kinds of levels, so you can do it at a county level if you're talking about a large geographic area, but you can drill it down and become as granular as you really want and do it at a neighborhood street level. So once again, going back to the task here, we were trying to identify parcels of land in Hillsborough County that would be meet certain criteria for eligible sites for a community mental health center. And we chose 8 criteria to include in our analysis. 6 of these criteria we characterize as constraints. These were things that the parcels of land had to meet to be eligible to be included as a potential site for a community mental health center. We had 2 additional criteria that we called suitability criteria. These were things that increased the sort of the value of that parcel, if you will, that made it more attractive to as a potential site for a community mental health center. So in terms of the constraints, things that had to be met, well, we were talking about Hillsborough County, so sort of a no-brainer was that the parcel of land had to be within the county. There were zoning issues, so we looked at data that looked at the zoning for all of the land use in the county or all of the parcels in the county, and we selected only those parcels that were eligible for development for commercial, community-based, or planned development. We looked at the land use data and how the land use was identified by the county. We didn't want to site a community mental health center on a dump. We didn't want to put it on agricultural land or in recreational land, so we wanted to find land use that was available for appropriate for a community mental health center. Here, what we did is we first of all identified vacant land. We wanted parcels of land that didn't have an existing structure or use on them. We also, Steve mentioned the NIMBY phenomenon, we also said we're going to buffer any potential parcels of land that might be suitable sites from residential sections, sites. So we put in a quarter of a mile sort of buffer so they wouldn't be too close to residential communities. We also had to find parcels of lands that were large enough. And I sort of struggled with that. I said, how are we going to do that? And then we decided to look at the existing community mental health centers and how big their parcels of land were. So we came up with 4 acres, which was sort of a median kind of average in terms of the size of the parcels of land. The next two constraints that we built into our analysis was that we didn't want it on top of existing mental health providers. So we said it had to be at least 2 miles away. If we're going to increase access to services for folks, we wanted it to be in areas that weren't already being served by a mental health provider. These are not all community mental health centers. And then we wanted it accessible to folks. That was one of the things. So we said it had to be within a half a mile of a bus route. We have very poor transportation system in Hillsborough County, Florida. And so we set a half a mile. It's a long way to walk if you have to still walk a half a mile one way and a half a mile another way. But we did that so we could at least see if we could find some parcels of land. We had two, as I mentioned, suitability criteria, things that would increase the value of that parcel. One was need. We wanted to put a community mental health center in an area or in a parcel of land where there was a need for mental health services. And here what we actually did is we actually used Medicaid data, and we looked at historical mental health service use, and then we geocoded that by zip code to find out which zip codes in the county use the greatest proportion of mental health services. And we also know that mental health and poverty are associated, so we wanted to find potential sites or sites that were in poorer areas where it actually increased the value, if you will, of that parcel of land. These are the data sets. I'm not really going to go through those, but with the exception of the Medicaid data, everything else was sitting out there. So we had data from, obviously, the Census Bureau. We had data from the transit system for bus system, and they were all previous geocoded. We had property appraisers data. So all of these data were actually sitting in different places and really required very little work to be able to use them in this analysis. We used ArcGIS to conduct our analysis. There are other kinds of spatial analysis software out there that people can use. We conducted a vector analysis to identify the land parcels that met the 6 constraints, and then we had to convert that to a raster data set. We performed a raster analysis on the generalizability to generate the suitability scores. And finally, we sort of multiplied those two rasters to get a suitability score for each parcel of land in the county that met the criteria that we had applied. And just a little digression, not to get into sort of the technical aspect, but really the difference between sort of vector data and raster data is the way the data are stored. So vector data uses points and lines and polygons, and raster data is more grids and images. And there's some differences in terms of the way the data are stored, how much storage space it takes, the computing time when you sort of run this analysis. This is actually what the model looks like in ArcGIS. Just a couple points. The blue ovals are the data sources that I mentioned. The yellow rectangles are actually the GIS functions that we applied. And the green ovals are intermediate results that come out of it in each step. Obviously, the green oval on the far right is the final solution to the analysis. So the upper portion of the model is where we're looking at the constraints. Sort of the bottom portion is where we were looking at generating the suitability scores, and then when we put the two together, we come up with the final solution. So this is a map of Hillsborough County, and it's really not part of the analysis, but I think it gives a good example of how the visualization really helps. The darker the shading, and these are by zip codes, the darker the shading, this is the Medicaid service use. So the darker the shading, the more higher proportion of services that we used in that zip code relative to the yellows, which are the lighter proportions. And the dots that you can see are where the existing mental health providers are. So it provides a pretty good visual correlation, if you want to look at that, of where the sites are and where the highest proportion. Of course, the zip code we used was the zip code of where the person lived, not the zip code of where the service was provided. Otherwise, they'd look sort of funny. But you can see, if you look at the sort of the, what is the southwest corner of the county, that's sort of a high-need area. There are very little services in terms of existing mental health provider services down that part of the county. This is an intermediate map that came out. These are parcels of land that met the six criteria. If you look, they're all within the white shaded areas. So when you put those six constraints together in terms of the appropriate land use and zoning, being within a half mile of a bus route, most of the county drops out, which is partly due to the transportation issue. When we ran the model, we identified 53 parcels of land in the county that met the six constraints that we had imposed on the analysis. The suitability scores, while they could have ranged to 10 for those for the parcels of land, actually ranged from 2.25 to 7. And acceptable parcels with the highest suitability scores were located in three areas. They were located in the northwest part of the county, the central part of the county, and the southwest part of the county. And so this particular map, the little red boxes are the actual places in the county where the suitable, the parcels that met all of the six constraints that also had higher suitability scores. I have some insert maps that I broke out so you can see them. Obviously, as we go from yellow to red, they have higher suitability scores. And so those were the areas. One of the nice things, you can see that one of the areas is down in the southwest part of the county where there was a relatively high need based on historical Medicaid service use where there were no services and accessible by bus. So what's sort of the conclusion of this? Well, I think the map portraying the community mental health needs along with the existing mental health providers highlights those areas that are lacking easy access to care. So where residents really don't have the kind of access that we might hope that they would have. And with the conference theme of social justice, I think this example demonstrates how spatial analysis can be used to enhance access to help decrease access inequalities. By locating new services, or at least doing planning about where we would put services or where we need to put services at underserved yet accessible locales. And I thought it was interesting, I was doing some research and I found this talk by Doug Richardson, who is the executive director of the Association for American Geographers, and I don't know him and I don't know the association, but he was talking about how the organization is doing a lot of work with the NIH broadly, but with NIMH and NIDA to develop closer working relationships to try to enhance the use of spatial analysis in mental health services research. So with that, I thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think the important analysis is, repeat, yeah. Yeah, I don't know where we're at. You know, people are not wearing shoes that, you know, have the services where you're sort of, it's not to say we shouldn't be working on our work. In fact, we need, and we have a vote, the day we come out of the direction, up together for moves, get a black, get a better provision or for the policy, you know.
You know, I came in late and I'm sorry. I thought your presentation sort of like this.
Well, we had a policy running through.
And, you know, that's a third question too. But, you know, in these locales, I mean, there has to be some kind of commercial center or something in there where, you know, mental health services offices could be located. I mean, you don't have to go into a housing.
Right.
And, you know, the other thing too, you know, and I'll give you an example. Here in Denver, we had a community health center up on 23rd and New York Street, which is up by City Park on the north end. This is when I lived here like 1,000 years ago. And they were doing primal screen therapy, right? Well, it happened to be a black neighborhood, you know, and this was going on at night, and people would see all these blacks going into this building, and then all this screaming, and the police. Every night they were there, you know, because they thought they were killing somebody. But I mean, if you go back into the neighborhood and explain to them what you're doing, or, you know, at least give them a heads up on that, I think you have more success of just going and saying, we're going to put a mental health center here. I mean, you need to go in and kind of schmooze the community. I mean, that's part of the community work that you need to do.
Yes, I just want people to know that I have 10 extra copies of the information on rural suicides in the United States counties, and information on how to access the national database that you can calculate. You can obtain the data and calculate this. And if you would like, you can, the handout, I'll be here in the morning.
I just wanted to follow up. Interesting, would be interesting to relax those constraints with the with the proximity to residential areas and the socioeconomic one, and to see if more sites would open up.
And that, actually, I think that's one of the values of using this kind of technology, is that you can change the constraints in a region.
Virtue out of that, because that kind of identifies sort of the
more stable of the people, or I'd say the people with mental illness who are most stable, who have most stable living situations, and those who would be most likely to integrate, and to see if geography was barrier there, would be kind of the place I'd want to start.
I'm a little curious, how did you control for rents? You didn't? So, will you be looking into that? I guess I'm a little curious to see if the amenities really are the driving force, or if it's the actual affordability of housing. And so housing then becomes the prime determinant, and then secondary indicators become those amenities.
Well, I mean, I guess the question, and again, you talked to this, and what I didn't mention in the presentation, obviously it's very urban area we look at, so other kind of contexts, suburban or rural, are going to have kind of very different kind of dynamics going on. But with housing costs and how they correlate to amenities, you're going to have different types of amenities. I mean, restaurants can include anything from, you know, from a high-class restaurant to fast food, for example, and that's something that we have to look at more in depth. For further study, but also a lot of times the more modest rents correlated better with access to different amenities, at least in urban areas, where you have the different where you have different commercial, you have more mixed use residential areas, the rents tended to be lower. So again, that's something that we just kind of touch on more theoretically than empirically, but that would also be a good area for this.
Most communities have a GIS system, like police have a program, county has a program, social services might have a program. Is it easy to coalesce with these people to try to get the data that you need with those capabilities that are there?
I think it depends on the city and on the community. Because if you're living in a large urban city, chances are you have some sort of a database that is going to be administered either by the government or by a large university that will have data from the city. If you're living in a rural environment, then I think it will be much more difficult to see those data.
Here you go, that data you just were talking
about. The data, first of all, needs to be there. Second of all, needs to be accessible, and getting access to that data is a lot of times difficult. But jurisdictions are making progress more and more, and you're getting kind of data whereabouts where different systems are going to force data into a common reporting database that's going to be able to de-identify the information, which is each of those steps, which is going to expand access. So things are actually looking up in that.
Yeah, because we've kind of done, I head up this task force in the city where I live, and in order to do that, the Freedom of Information Act, we went to different people and got some data, okay, and we had it, and they gave it to us, and then we just put it on templates, where they were clear. We could set all the templates on top of each other, and then we could find, those were our constraints, and then that's how we could find where
that's how things are. That's how the Garrison did it.
And that way you didn't have to go into a big bust, you just ask specific people, I need this or I need that. And you did it in a nice way, and they provided it.
I was actually surprised how much data was available there over here. I mean, there are a lot of organizations at the data warehouse that has a lot, at that on the county level.
But, even like the information specialists, in our city we used to have a vital stats section where this guy did all the county and city data and stuff like that. And he was great, because he would just die on to share his stuff with you. So, most people have a person that way, and if it's legal, they'll give you everything you want. It's just...
I think on that note,